Welcome to the City Life Lansing podcast. You are loved, you belong, and you have a unique purpose from God. You can connect with us at citylifelansing.com. You belong here. Here's today's message.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Jerome. I get to serve as lead pastor here, but the real lead pastor is Jesus. He's the chief shepherd. The whole team is here to equip people for the work of the ministry, and what that means is that God wants you to do something with your life to serve him and serve people. You might notice here we say, you are loved, you belong, and you have purpose. And what that means is that God loves you. You belong to him. You belong to his people, free to be yourself. You have purpose to serve. But in one of our rooms, we make a distinction here because we have a shared office that is for members. So when you think about people that have been baptized, so now into the family of God, so it's no longer third person or something that's an outside broadcast, and then on the window it says, I am loved, I belong, and I have purpose. Because it's one thing for you to believe it for somebody else and hear it broadcasted, but can you make it personal today for yourself? Followers of Jesus, I am loved, I belong, and I have purpose. So to kick today off, before we get into the introduction and overview of the book of Acts, we're just going to repeat, I am loved because God says so in Jesus. I am brand new. I belong to God and his family. Hallelujah. And I have purpose as the Lord has served me to serve in everything I do. All right, so I'm going to say I am loved. You say I am loved. I am loved. I belong. And I have purpose. Amen. Well, today is an introduction and overview for the book of Acts. And I'm not sure that there's any more books that have been more instrumental and pivotal in my life. Not because I read it and I think, wow, I can do this, but quite the opposite. I think if the same spirit lives in me that lives in them, I am quite challenged. The book of Acts is powerful. It's a story about what Jesus is continuing to do. When you think of life, maybe you think of your life in this big story that God is doing. And I remember my grandma got me a book as a kid. And in the story, I didn't know this at the time, but I thought it was the neatest thing in the world because the story was written, but I was the main character. I was the protagonist. Had my name in the story, in the book. Now, she went somewhere, and you can basically get the story printed, and you insert your favorite person's name or your name, and then you read it. But when you give it to a kid, and he's all of 4 years old, and he's reading the story, he's like, wow, I'm in the story. Now, followers of Jesus, it's his story, history, his story. But you have a part to play. You're a page of a chapter up in his story. So when I think of stories or I think of movies, it requires our imagination to awake. I use that as an on-ramp for this series to say this. Can our imaginations come awake in this place? Is there a spark in your soul that God wants to fan that can become a flame, that could become a blaze? To see an acorn, maybe the thought shift by the power of the Holy Spirit to see a forest. To look in the mirror and you see one person, but to see a movement. Now, I don't recommend this movie, but one of the earliest movies I recall as a kid was The Neverending Story. We went to, parents, if you've ever done this, where you go back and you watch a movie, and then you realize you shouldn't be watching this with your kids because you wanted them to, either one, relive the memory with you, but you're like, okay, this is horrible quality, or two, this is dark and demonic. Well, I think it was a bit of both. You know, the setting is something about darkness or the land of darkness, and the main character is Bastion, and he gets bullied and beat up, and he runs into a library, and he finds this book, The Neverending Story, and then he realizes it's a real book that has his name in it, and it's coming alive, and so there's this invisible realm that you can't see, and then there's the visible in his own life, and he starts to get woven in the story, I remember being so captivated by it. It was The Neverending Story. Now today, that's fiction, But what we're going to read is the never-ending story of what God is doing through his church, and he wants your name included in it. And what is unseen is eternal, and what is seen is temporary. What we believe could seem so outlandish at times, but if it's true, it demands our full attention. If Christ isn't Lord of everything, he's not Lord of anything. And today, I pray that we would all be inspired and challenged in such a way that we would not just read the book of Acts of what Jesus continues to do through them then, but we would also start to see that we can be a part of the real never-ending story that will last forever, what Jesus wants to continue to do through you now. For real, in Lansing, in the 517, in the world. So imagine a truth that would compel you so much that you're willing to hold nothing back and just go for it. You can already start to sense in the room that some people are like, whew, okay. Calling greatness out of you. There's dreamers in this place. Let the dreams of God awaken. So here's what we're going to do over the next month-ish. Are we okay with ish? God is in charge of the timeline. We can put our plans, but the Lord has to build the house or we labor in vain. Our plans are useless unless he breathes life into it. But of course, like a builder, we want to have plans. So we have a plan here, and our plan is this. What we're going to do is we're going to go through the book of Acts in the next 30 days-ish, next month-ish. And starting next Sunday, we're going to have a chapter a day. If you're part of the email list, you'll get the chapter link sent out. You'll get recaps. You'll get videos from the Bible Project. You'll get some resources that you can dive into later, some podcast or further reading material. But let's be honest, none of this will work unless you set the table and carve out some time to let God's word work. So that's not to little buddy you or make you feel shame. It's just to say, are we going to carve out time this next month for God, for his word, and for his people? So next Sunday, group semester two launch, and the book that we'll be going through is the book of Acts. So we'll have a chapter a day that'll be coinciding with groups. EP. By the 116 Click, also known as Reach Records. There's a song by Trip Lee and Tadashi. And the song is Dig In, and the hook goes like this. Bible, check. Spiral, check. Highlighter, check. Now dig, dig. You want to know them? Got to dig. You want to know them? You got to dig. How do we know God? In his word. In the hallway, and if you're watching this online, there's a new tool they've got out there called Amazon. And if you're an Amazon Prime member, a Bible could show up to you tomorrow if you got $10. And we purchased several Bibles today that are the faux leather, but they're nice, and we have them in the hallway for $20. And if you're watching this and you don't have a physical copy, I would encourage you, get in. Now dig, dig. Bible, check. Spiral, check. Highlighter, I need my highlighter, it's up in my office, check. Now dig, dig, you know, let's get in. And it's not always fun to dig. If you've ever dug a hole, something happens to your soul, though. You realize God's word is inexhaustible. It's perfect. And it's there to transform us and reveal more of who God is. So to frame the book of Acts today from an introduction and an overview standpoint, let me give you some borders for the story here. You'll notice as we're reading in the next month that there's going to be some really bold and brave things and also some really grave things as people die and people are martyred. It can seem almost even unfair at times. So a good border understanding for us or some bumpers if we're bowling would be descriptive and prescriptive. There's going to be description about what Jesus is continuing to do through his people, but there's also going to be some prescriptive way that it applies to our life, but not all of it is commands. You might hear and understand the context of what it meant for them then, but it is our job in community to continue to understand what it meant for them then to apply for us now. Is it okay? Are you guys still with me? I know Sundays like last week is like fun. It's all emotional. Now this is like a mini crash course to a seminary class for the book of Acts. So descriptive versus prescriptive and how this movement is impacting people. Who wrote the book of Acts? Well, we'll learn in a moment. It's Luke. Luke, who was not one of the, what's that? Luke's what? Star Wars? Is that what you're thinking? Your son's name's Luke? I just apply everything to either Jesus and Star Wars, so I instantly filtered it through that. But shout out to your son's name, Luke. And shout out to Luke. And what an amazing name, because Luke wrote the Gospel of Luke and also the book of Acts. But the Gospel of Luke is not about Luke. It's the Gospel of Jesus Christ. And the book of Acts is what Jesus continues to do. So we can see those as one. Now, the book of Acts name comes from the Greek word praxis, or in other words, to mean great deeds of the apostles. So think what is happening in believers' lives. Now, where are we? Acts ends abruptly with Paul imprisoned in Rome. There's a cliffhanger, waiting to bring his appeal before Caesar. Now, it's worth noting that leaves us right before Paul and then Peter are martyred because they believe that Jesus rose from the dead and they won't deny their faith. They won't bow to a so-called king on this planet, that they're going to bow to the real king, the King of Kings. What would make someone lay down their life? They obviously were impacted by a good news, a message that was far superior, a never-ending story that was more important than their own life. God, I pray that you would give me, all of us, that level of conviction. Now, the purpose of Luke and Acts could be maybe twofold. One could be ecclesial, or two could also be apologetic. Now, from the ecclesial standpoint, ecclesial meaning the church, meaning people, not a building, but a called out ones that are set apart to gather. So when we say ecclesia or ecclesia, what we're meaning is you and me if we're in the faith. Now, if you're on the faith, man, today's a good day. God's grace is here, ready to make you brand new. But we must believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by him. And one of the hang-ups can be, well, why is it just Jesus? Why is there only one way? And it's such a misunderstanding and a gross it's a gross mistake of knowing our condition and our own sin. One, all of us are sinners. We're all born into sin. And sin separates us from God. And because of sin, there's death. And with that separation, we can't get to God, no matter how many good things we do. So God had to get to us. So we don't say this, that why is God, is there only one way? We say, God, thank God there's a way. And we get that. And let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We're saved because of Jesus' finished work on the cross. So the ecclesial standpoint or purpose is in order to edify the church or the people of God. Or the apologetic could be composed to make a case that Christianity was the real kingdom at play. It was not just a threat to the Roman Empire. More specifically, it seems that it could have been Paul's defense to before Caesar. To say this last argument seems to fit the abrupt ending the best and is also supported through the acceptance or non-conviction of Paul from governing officials, so that this now has given us a way that we can defend and understand that, you know what? These so-called kings and these so-called kingdoms, we have to filter them through Scripture and say, that doesn't line up. And I know we want to do it opposite sometimes. We're like, no, well, I am American first. No, I'm a Christian first, and I'm grateful to be in this country to serve, but if my country ever goes against my kingdom or my king, I can pray, but that would be when I don't submit. Anyways, another topic, another day. So there's themes going on throughout the book of Acts. Y'all still with me? Some of the key themes are this, and this is key, because when I've sat under teachings of the book of Acts or I've listened to the book of Acts, what I've found is there's a lot of people with agendas. And even what study Bibles you'll get. Because if there's a study Bible about a specific theme, what you'll find is, to include all the cliff notes and cross references and into the bottom of this book is very hard to, the inexhaustible study of God to include in something that I can hold in my hand that now I don't know if I need bifocals, but it's pretty close. So depending on what size you need, that this is key too. I love Bible Gateway. If you have a computer, you can pull it up. You can put two scriptures side by side, and then you can, for $1.99 a month, hit the resources tab, and then you can get different study guides to see what's happening. So it's just to give a disclaimer real quick that in some of the study guides, it's not a bad thing, but what happens is the theme of a subpoint is being communicated as the main point. And if we aren't careful, we'll miss what is happening in some of the main themes. So what is happening in the main themes, to keep the main thing is it's the power of the Holy Spirit given to human beings so that they would be infused to witness to different people groups. The Jews, the Gentiles, all nations, all ethnicities, that the good news wants to impact them. And next week we'll look at Acts 1 and 2 of how that then fleshes out. We'll get to hear from our Lord and Savior before he ascends. And he gives them a game plan of what he continues to do through them then and what he continues to do through us now. Now, Jesus' mission, main theme, is ongoing, first to Israel and then also to all nations through his departure. And then there's a self-giving faithfulness of the early church. You'll see that loud and clear. That there's no possession that they want to hold on to. There's no privilege they feel entitled to. And they just want their whole lives to be immersed with the King and kingdom. And then there's a lot of sub-themes. And and this could be a cool exercise over the next decade for everybody in this room. And this is for the two people that I haven't lost at this point. The two people. Is this. Read the book of Acts many different times with finding a sub-theme throughout. And some of those can be, well, there's community. There's communion. There's regional contextualization of how the gospel's playing out. There's decision-making, team leadership. There's miracles. And I do feel led to say this. We are a church that believes that the power of the Holy Spirit is still alive and active to do all signs and wonders. But friends, if we're not careful, we become signs and wonders junkies and we put miracles above the greatest miracle that's ever happened, that Jesus rose from the dead. So there's also, in the book of Acts, suffering. How's that possible? Yes. There's provision. There's persecution. There's alms given to people, the poor. There's generosity. There's the filling of the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues. There's repentance. There's rebuke and correction. There's disagreements. There's travel. There's commitment. There's lying. There's accountability. It's a cool never-ending story. And there's discipleship. Amen. So what we want to do when we dive into this book is this: understand the context of what it meant for them then. And what Bible would you read? You can pick any Bible you want. Today we bought the CSB, and let me show you why. There's a chart here from the CSB website, and it has the difference of readability versus being literal. Think literal to stay true to the full inclusion from the original manuscripts and the writings to be in a word-for-word translation. And then think readability to be understand. I was with some guys the other day and some good old boys in the rural area. I love these dudes. They're farmers. But I dropped some slang and they go, man, they got Jerome hanging around you. I got to stop all the time and ask, what's that phrase mean? I go, man, well, let me be your tour guide to the inner city because that wasn't too many phrases. You need a bridge then. I need a bridge to the rural area, and you got to tell me what all those farming terms mean, and we'll be great tour guides to understand one another's slang because context matters. Slang is things we pick up, emojis, and today's, you go through the hallways in schools today, I don't even know what half the kids are saying. But so the readability in the translation to hit us really matters. So how easy is it to understand versus how hard is it to read? Now, the King James only crowd, and not to shame them, but my goodness, if there's a King James only crowd, I would just say, if we're gonna be consistent in our logic, we have to be now Aramaic, Hebrew, and Greek only crowd. So it's okay to have translation over time. It's just, did the translation get lost? And God's word has been preserved. So do your homework in the canonization and the preservation of who God is through his word and through his people. So you'll see the CSB has a literal high performance, and then it has a readability. But even here at City Life, for the Bible buffs that have read different translations, there is so many different translations we use. When we say, and Jesus won't stop until he makes all things new. Well, that's out of Revelation. That comes out of the ESV, all things new. Now, the CSB, this is a bummer because we were like, dang, do we got to change all of our marketing? And at the end of it says God is coming back and he'll make everything new. I'm like, it's the same thing, but all things new is way catchier. So I've been an ESV guy for a long time, but you might be an NLT, an NIV. The point is, get something in your hand and let's read it. Are you with me? And you might be here, and I won't spend a lot of time on this, but just to show you the if we're going to hold true to any ancient history and ancient works, look at the New Testament's manuscripts in comparison to Caesar, comparison to so many different people from that era. Look at this. There's nothing in a close second. And you can find this on Bible Questions Info. And if you came here for me to catch fish for you, you picked the wrong church today. If you came here to learn how to fish, then I think we can go somewhere great the next month. And it's going to take a minute. But when you fall in love with something, you get so excited, you get so caught up with it, it will feel that you're learning a whole other language at first. I remember sitting in a church, I would Google things on the spot. What does hallelujah mean? What does amen mean? There's a lot of Christianese going on in this junk. You got to learn it. You got to dig. You want to know him, got to dig. Everyone's going to download that, I hope, when you get home. All right, today we're just going to start with it's the very beginning of Acts. Acts 1. I wrote the first narrative, Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up. After he had given instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After he had suffered, he also presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days, speaking about the kingdom of God. Who wrote Acts? Well, we know it's Dr. Luke. So when he says, I wrote the first narrative gives us our Bible book type, that this is a true story from Dr. Luke, who was not one of the followers of Jesus, who was a physician by profession, but through finding out, interviewing from eyewitnesses, taking account, was so compelled that this is true that then penned what we now know as Luke and Acts to record it. The narrative. Now, the Bible has many different books with many different writing styles. When you're reading a narrative, it's going to be different than when you're reading a prophetic letter from one of the major prophets, or a psalm, poetry. This, though, historical narrative, story about the real never-ending story that continues to move forward through Jesus' church. Jesus, he only promised to build one thing, the church. And he only promised to come back for one thing, the church. We can bow now or bow later. And I pray that we would heed and take notice and be a part of what he is doing. Now, to go back to Luke, or before we go there, let's just finish the Acts 1, 1-1, first sentence. Theophilus is, people believe that, we don't know a lot about this person, but Theophilus can be a could be a ruler at that time that Luke is writing to, but here's one of the things I would love to highlight. When you look up Theophilus's name, that's why names are so powerful. Luke is literally writing to Theophilus, which means loved by God. So some believe that is he writing to just a general type of person. We're going to cross-reference Luke 1 in a minute. Don't believe it's a it's a general person, but it is an actual person. But it's so neat that it's to Theophilus, loved by God. These are just some of the little sub-nuggets you'll find, which don't try to keep them, don't put them over. Like, oh, that's what the whole book means now. And, you know, this is what happens if you get into, you know, prophecy and numbers, and that almost becomes like astrology. And then you're like, you know, you're thinking this is what it means, and this, which is fascinating, because I always thought 666 meant the you know, it's the mark of the beast, but it's not even, that's not even the exact translation that it's 666. It could mean that, it could also mean something else. Someone's like, what? Yeah, I didn't even want receipts if they came back at 666 early on. Thinking this is satanic, and it still might be satanic. I mean, I don't want anything to do with, but six, when we understand the number six, it can't be bad. God created everything, and he saw it was very what? So if it's very good, six means man. He created me and you. Theophilus, loved by God. Now, it has to be a person, I would say, because let's go back to Luke chapter 1. And we're looking at Luke chapter 1, verse 1. Many have undertaken to compile a narrative about the events that have been fulfilled among us, just as the original eyewitnesses and servants of the word handed them down to us. So it also seemed good to me, since I have carefully investigated, remember Dr. Luke, investigated everything from the very first, to write to you in orderly sequence, most honorable Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things about which you have been instructed. Writing to most honorable Theophilus, dotting the I's, crossing the T's, that's worthy. Worthy to uphold scrutiny. And I do want to invite us into, if you're going fishing, it's okay to ask questions with God. Maybe not with me. My patience is a little low. I got 5 kids. I don't need a 6 right now. So if you want to ride in the car, we're not talking questions. It's the due quarter in the internship. If you don't know that, rewind the last month. It's not a, it's, I too am a man under authority. If my kids are asking why we take out the trash, it just, you know, don't spare the rod. I'm not saying that's what's exactly happening, but there's something happening. You're in the corner. You just take out the trash, you know? So if you want to ask me a lot of questions, I might not be your tour guide in this season, but your group leader might be. And your group, not leader, it's actually a group facilitator, because everyone is there to learn under Jesus, and the group facilitator is there to help cultivate how God is leading, okay? So the better language there would be or more accurate to what is taking place as group facilitator. Anyways, you can go to your group, you can be there with your facilitator, and you could be there in your group, and you can ask as many questions as you want, but here's where you can really ask the most amount of questions as we're going out fishing. To God. He can handle all your questions. And he's answered them. And you got to dig. And my pastor told me once, I sent him, we're not going to get to those videos. We'll send them out. Make sure we have your email. We're going to send some Bible project overview videos out this week. So to get us ready for the on-ramp of next weekend and to continue in the spirit of repetition. Practice makes perfect. No, perfect practice makes perfect. So how you take the rep matters. And we want repetition in the right way so that we're rightly dividing the word of God. All right, back to emailing my pastor. There's been times I've emailed my pastor about some questions in theology. Like, I don't understand this. And one, I was grateful he would humor me and read my really long emails. But there was a level of, once I got off into a certain topic, I would be persuaded in a direction that God's grace sometimes would take me completely to the other side of the pendulum later. And if I would have made conclusive thoughts in this season, I wouldn't have necessarily understood this angle as well. So anyone who's lived some life following Jesus, you know that we see dimly, and God's word is perfect, and experience can also teach us things. So you got, you know, orally, what are we telling one another? We got the tradition that we're in. We got God's written word. But the experience in our life starts to, and here's how he summed it up in some of my questions, which I've still found to be true in the church here today. We are all on a need-to-know theology basis. Most of us don't want to know until we need to know. And here's what's crazy, and here's what I mean by that. We play gymnastics when we want God to say something he never said because we want to believe it to be true. Either we can sin or we can sign off on someone else's sin, but I've never watched so many people become gymnastics with the text when it's about their own life as they do when it comes to their own sin and somebody else's sin. And here's what the devil does. This is why it's so key to know God's word. The devil uses truth. He quotes the scriptures. And for all of us, sometimes we quote the scriptures, but we're not letting God be God in that moment. What we're doing is putting God through our box. And when God tells you something that you don't agree with in his word, I would submit to us and myself to humbly submit to God, not our feelings. And I say that with fear and trembling, knowing that be careful lest you stumble. Focus on the own log in your own eye. But what I found is there's been times I've needed to know things that people could help me, but I needed to go to God and let him teach me. And as he teaches me, it doesn't mean that I'm always going to agree. If your God doesn't disagree with you sometimes, you don't have a God, you are God. Because we're in a day and age, and I'm not saying I'm trying to get canceled or whatever, but so be it if it meant it, following God. I'd rather be accepted by God than be rejected for living a lie. But we're also not going to wear, like, we're just out here, the Bible says, like, no, let your speech be gentle, seasoned with salt, gentle towards outside. Like, God loves all people. Remember how we've been brought and bought into the kingdom of God? We're sinners that become saints only because of the grace of God. But there will be moments when I'm not right. But God is always right. What I love about church leadership is the disclaimer in God's word that Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. And be careful when you say things like this. Well, here's what I believe, here's what I feel, but no one else is agreeing with you. And there's Christians around you. And I've watched this play out so many times, even when people have counseled against me or watching counsel have, that all counsel is saying one thing, but the other person's like, no, this is what I believe to be true. That's pretty rare that God wouldn't confirm his truth through the believers around us. So this is a little bit of a ditch at the end. I mean, ditches to be aware of as I'm ending here. But I don't want this to be pretty right now. I want this to be an invitation to handle, to take everything to God. Life is messy. Life is hard. We teach our ministers, you know, you're going to go and you're going to minister and you're going to be there by somebody's bedside of their last breath and you're going to be there by their bedside when they have a baby. But God is present in both. That's that never-ending story. And he has so much in his word to teach us. And as we're on need to know, like, oh, is it predestination or not? Is it pre-tribulation or not? And let's talk about it. You know? What does speaking in tongues mean, or what doesn't it? Where's the gifts of the Spirit? Let's dive in. And I think a lot of times what you'll find, that's why we say the language here, it's both and. You're going to see in God's word is wisdom, how he applies it differently in different seasons. So worship team, I want to call you guys up to the stage, and I guess just here's where we're going to go. Worship team ended. I'm asking Holy Spirit if I need to clean up anything. Did I say anything so out of pocket? No. What I felt at the end is I really tried to convey is there's going to be moments where you'll email your pastor or your group facilitator and you'll think you're so right. And thank God for those gentle corrections in those moments. But his ways are higher and his thoughts are higher. And just be careful that we would make conclusive secondary doctrines on experiential seasons. Like to dismiss all of the church in the deconstruction movement. The deconstruction of any structure is back in our example, Jesus is the ultimate of that. So we should always be deconstructing anything that is false. But if we're studying the real McCoy, Jesus, we would already picked up that along the way. What's the phrase? Don't throw the baby without... don't do that. I don't even know if that... What does that even mean? So that's slang. That's like King James Version. We're trying to get our kids to read KJV because I think that's one of the books they had. Couldn't even do it. It was awesome. And then that's what their phone was set up for, the default setting. They're like, Dad, you know. Read it, you know. Like, I don't know what this means. Oh, it's not set to the King James Version. I'm sorry. Here's what God's word says to me and you. He's been faithful in every season, and I want the worship team to just minister us wherever you're at. By the power of the Holy Spirit, whatever season you're in, I pray that Psalm 23, as I read this, would minister to you. That you can kind of put the introduction and overview to Book of Acts on the side for a second, and whatever season you find yourself in, look to God. He's big enough to handle it. And may God purify our lives, that the Spirit would lead us and guide us. And I read Psalm 23 over us right now. I have what I need. He lets me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He renews my life. He leads me along the right path for his name's sake. Even when I go through the darkest valley, I fear no danger. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now I can read this, but if you're in a dark valley, that's hard to read. Unless you're out of it. But if you're in the dark valley today, God is still faithful, and I pray that you would look to him. Because here's what he does. In those dark places, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Only goodness and faithful love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord as long as I shall live. Amen? Let's sing. All of our lives, he's been faithful. Oh, trying right now to give God everything, I pray that would be our heart posture this next month more than ever. As we read the book of Acts and we watch believers lay down their life so we could even be here today, I pray we would not come into the study with our own agendas, but rather we will learn through what Jesus continued to do through them then. But we would hold nothing back for us now. So have your way. Purify us, God, by your Spirit. Purify our motives. Purify my heart and lead us this season. Lead us in all things, God. We pray. Let's sing that last one, and may that be the cry of our heart.
Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, is running after me. My life laid down, I surrender now, I give you everything. It's running after me. It's all my life you have been faithful.
So good with every breath that I am in, I will see the goodness of God.
God, we thank you for your power. We thank you for your peace. We thank you for your love and your mercy. And I pray this month we'll have a hunger for your word like never before. Bible, check. Spiral, check, which is a notebook. Highlighter, check. Now dig. And may we see your story, your church, what you continue to do. And may we see our lives alive and active as we dive into the book of Acts. We say yes, Lord. Our spirit says yes. God, I pray for your people that they would know their love, belong, and have purpose. If they feel they're at a you stage still, that they would accept you and they could say, I am born again because of Jesus. They would repent, turn from their sin, and go all in with you. You're a great leader, you're perfect, and you're batting 1,000. We thank you, King Jesus. We thank you for your people. We thank you for this community here and what you're doing in this local church, ultimately a part of your church. We pray this in the powerful name of Jesus, and all of God's people said, amen. Well, friends, thank you for being here today. We'll see you next week. Book of Acts, chapter 1, 10 a.m. and 11:30. All races, all faces, and all ages, you belong here. We're going to keep loving this city one life at a time. And we're not going to stop until Jesus comes back and he makes all things new. Have the best day of your lives.
Podcast, loving you and loving the city one life at a time. To get connected, learn more, and invest financially, go to citylifelansing.com. You belong here.